Hi, everybody. Welcome to another Prague Report podcast interview. This is Roy. My guest on this episode is frontman for the band Wheel, James Lascelles. The band have a new album out on Inside Out Music called Charismatic Leaders. It's out on May 3rd. There's a new single out called Empire as well. Recently, the band toured with the band Vola North America. They're also about to tour with Caligula's Horse in Australia, and then back to North America, touring with the band Aviation. So a lot going on with these guys. Got a chance to talk with James about that, the new album, and a whole lot more. But before the interview, just a reminder to subscribe to our YouTube channel, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on all our socials and on PragueReport.com. And now my interview with James Lascelles from Wheel. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you, mate. Just lots of promotional stuff and just earning a bit of money before we get back out on tour again. So just regular band stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have sort of been relentless out there touring the last few years. It's been pretty crazy.
We're trying to be. I think just it kind of feels like we've got some wind beneath us at the moment, and we just want to take it as far as it can go. And it doesn't need to get to the very top of the top for us to feel like we're winning, but at least right now it feels like a good time to push.
Yeah. So yeah, the last time we spoke was in 2021 for Resident Human, which was a fantastic record and did pretty well for you guys, I think, from sort of starting out. But you've been really busy since. I think the presence of the band has grown a lot. Have you noticed a lot more growth and interest in the band since then?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's always a weird feeling, I think, when you start something new like we did with Wheel. You're kind of an outsider until you're not. It's not this moment where it kind of just all clicks into place. You just realize that moment's behind you, and certainly looking how people talk about the band now, at least people are aware we exist. And I guess where we go from here is kind of in our hands.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I've noticed is when we share news about you guys or talk about you guys on the Prague Report or I see other places, it definitely seems like people know Wheel now, right? I mean, there's still a ways to go, for lots of bands, but I think you definitely have some notable online presence now where maybe you didn't a few years ago. So that has to be really good.
Definitely. It's just all positive, isn't it? Like we just want to get to the point where we can sustain ourselves long term and continue making music. And I think we are extremely close to the point where that's happening.
Yeah. I mean, I think the main thing that going back to the touring, though, that you guys have been able to do is be out there on the road a lot. It's not something newer bands get to do these days very much. And I think that is, back in the day, that was how you got a band known, was hitting the road, right? I mean, I think, and I still think when a band is able to do that, it pays off. So, you toured in the US with Vola recently. How was that?
Oh, that was incredible. They're really lovely guys and a brilliant band. But I think you're completely right. Live really is kind of where you make those big moves. They don't feel big at the time, but they really add up if you keep on touring. I think it's just the income streams have been so gutted from every side now, to the point where some venues are even taking fairly large cuts of merch percentage.
Really, yeah.
And I think even for bands quite a lot larger than we are, I know that the only way they're really making the income is through doing meet and greets and on merch at that larger scale. Like everything else gets folded back into the running costs and the show. So I do get the fact we are incredibly lucky to be in a position where we've had the support to go and tour like this, and we're just trying not to waste the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to bring it every night and put on a good show, which I hear you have. I haven't had a chance to see you guys yet. Hoping to this time around. Brings me to your upcoming tour in May in the U.S. and North America. You're touring with another really cool band. I mean, it's your headlining tour, but you're bringing on this band called Aviations, which are really cool. I know those guys a little bit. How'd you hook up with them?
I've just heard about them in some of the online forums, and from that I check out kind of what's up and coming on the scene, and I check out the biggest releases of the year. And when I heard their latest album, I just thought, that's freaking amazing. And I looked them up, and we contacted them and asked if they wanted to come with us on the road, and they were excited to do it. To be honest, I'm really looking forward to getting to watch them play. I think they're going to be an excellent live band.
Yeah, together, it's a good bill. If anybody is listening, you haven't checked out this band Aviations, they're an independent band, I think, but Really, really good band. Very proggy, very interesting. Cool videos. Love their videos. Do some really cool stuff. So I think we've talked about them before on the channel. But before that, actually, you're touring with other good friends of ours, Caligula's Horse over in Australia, which that's got to be an amazing bill. I mean, you guys are really touring with some of the best bands out there for some awesome shows. Have you been to Australia before? Have you played over there?
Not at all, no. I mean, I think like most people making this style of music, we're big fans of Australian prog and, you know, particularly Carnival back in the day when Soundwave came out. That record really had an impact on us and kind of the style of thing we wanted to create long term. And with Caligula's Horse, yeah, we cannot wait to go. It's going to be, it's our first trip to Australia. It's going to be our first time seeing Caligula's Horse live. And professionally, I can't wait for the shows. Personally, I'm really looking forward to hearing their gig. I think it's going to be a great experience.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. So congrats on being able to head over there and play with those guys. They're a lot of fun and they're just an amazing band. But more importantly, we got to talk about the new album, Charismatic Leaders, out on May 3rd. First single, Empire, is out. Just a killer, killer track. You know, take us back to the start of this album. When did you decide to get the writing going, and how long did it take, and everything involved in getting it going?
Well, I think some of the ideas date back to 2019, like the first 3 or 4 minutes of Submission and the first minute and a half of The Freeze, the main riff in Disciple. All of those we've had stashed away for a while. And funnily enough, Empire as well, that was originally two separate songs, both of which indicated they were going to be quite heavy. So right from the start, we kind of figured we're going to do our metal record. Just lots of these ideas seem to fit well as a cohesive piece of music. So we started digging into that properly at the beginning of last year, just fleshing it all out into full songs rather than just riffs and ideas. And most of it's been me on my own again, just sat in front of a computer, pulling my hair out. But notably, we've had the first piece of music by Yussi. He wrote Caught in the Afterglow, the acoustic interlude, on a 12-string guitar. And we back and forth about the structure for that quite a lot. And I ended up doing the production stuff with synthesizers and the Marimbula sample and the other stuff going on in the background. But that was something new, which we haven't done. And we had the first song, which was kind of started by Sundari, with Saboteur, the kind of main beat in that, in the verses. He sent me that on a phone recording or something 3 or 4 years ago. And I immediately came up with the first two riffs in that song as well. Wow. And everything else kind of grew off the back of that. So it's still not very collaborative, I think, by most band standards, and we're working on it, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
Right. I think what's interesting, one of the things that stood out for me for the album right away was the production. I mean, it sounds like you guys spent a lot of time on it. It sounds amazing. How heavy involved were you in the sound of the record?
Very. I think I've produced our past two previous albums, and with this one, I've co-produced it with Daniel Bergstrands, the producer who was working with us in Sweden, Jonas Barkanen, a Finnish guy who's worked with a lot of the more kind of pop side of metal groups like Blind Channel over here. And then, of course, with Forrester Saville, who's mixed the record, based in Australia, who's done Carnival and many other great bands. And I think all of them left a mark on the kind of sound and style of the album. Like, I think the guitars and drums, they're a lot more metal, I think, in overall presentation than we had on Resident Human, just because it fit the material better. And Frederick definitely had an impact on that in the studio. For those who don't know, the place we were recording, it's owned by Frederick Fordendahl, and they record all the samples for his company Toontrack, who make drum sample software there. And Daniel is his partner, and he's a very successful producer in his own right, and he's worked with all kinds of established bands all over the place, but notably like Devin Townsend, for example. And I think just the way they approached the core sound multiplied by what Forrester did with the mixing, we've kind of ended up with the best of both worlds, where we've got this very aggressive audio, which is kind of captured in the classic way, and then mixed with very modern techniques by Forrester.
How much time do you spend on the guitars, and how many guitar tracks do you do for just a riff? Is it just one or two, or are you layering, you know, 10?
It's a good question. Historically, I've quad tracked nearly everything. This is the so quad track, i.e., we do four guitars, two on each side. Right. Normally, two of each guitar through each of the amps we're running through. And that gives you this kind of full, rich sound for the rhythm parts. Then you just have to play them very, very close together. So it sounds like one guitar performing.
Yeah.
But this time around, we just did double tracking for most of it, which was, I was unsure if it was going to be kind of thick enough in certain places, but I'm not worried having heard the final mix. I think it absolutely works. And it was quite a cool new thing for us to try. But in terms of guitar detail, on the thickest, heaviest sections, there are normally fuzzes running in the background and extra overdrives or delay effects where it's felt appropriate. With Yussi's lead, we got really excited with... like a tremolos controlled by a rate pedal, which you can hear in Empire, for example. But we went quite deep in this time, and I think we've got even more ideas for the next one, because every time you record an album, you learn 50 new things.
Yeah, for sure. Talk about that track Empire. I think it's a great opening song. It just kicks off brilliantly and it's very energetic and kicks you in the face right away, which I think is killer. You know, was that one of the newer tracks that were written?
Both of the ideas in it. So the two ideas are the kind of bass groove in the verses and the intro, the thing with the snare on every beat. I've had those two ideas for a long time, and I was trying to flesh them out into longer songs. I spent months actually on each of these and was getting nowhere. And Santari, our drummer, eventually said to me, have you tried just putting them together? Because they're in different meters, but the tempo is about the same. Maybe it will just work. And it did. I mean, ever since the day I did that, we've kind of had a completely different feeling song to work on. So, yeah, I guess it was one of the last ones I finished, but some of the core ideas are some of the oldest we had.
Yeah. No, I love that one. And another great track is Porcelain. Second track on there. Bit more of a slower tempo than Empire, but still a great rock track, great hook on it. Was there maybe a greater focus on writing some more melodic stuff on this album and some of the songs than you had before?
Not deliberately. I think it's just we've done it more and we get better at it every time. And Porcelain's a really interesting one, because normally with these other songs, I've got blocks of riffs and ideas, but I meticulously just go bar by bar, working through how it's going to change. And in that one, I've got this wonderful baritone guitar made for me last summer by Ruokangas Guitars in Finland. And it's really heavy. It's in drop G, because I wanted something that would sit well with our regular guitars in drop C. And I just wanted to write something with it for the album. And unlike normally, I just jammed for about however long it was, 40 minutes, an hour. And I ended up just chopping up that jam into the structure of the song. And I had all the key parts there. I mean, I streamlined it a bit and I changed some bar links, but that the kind of overall flow of the track was pretty much there immediately, which never happens for me.
Yeah. So the band is officially just three of you, correct? And how are you handling the touring?
Well, at the moment, so our previous bassist left last summer. He's got a young daughter back in Finland, and he's been finding it really hard being away from home for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a huge surprise when we got to the point where he wanted to leave, and we're still on really good terms. We still work together in Finland quite often. Aki's just a great dude, and anyone who saw us live knows what a big part of our live show that was, and he's definitely missed. In the short term, Yuri Helko, who has been a sub for us in the past, back in 2019, he's been out to America with us last year for the Volator, and he's going to be coming back to the States and Australia with us starting next month. And for the first time ever since we started the group, we haven't had to panic and make a knee-jerk reaction to try and get somebody in immediately. So only really this week we've started reaching out and properly looking at bass players, because we just wanted to focus on the album while we were doing it. Like, I had written all the bass on the album anyway, so it didn't massively change that. And I ended up playing on Empire and Porcelain in the first half of the Freeze. And for the rest of the stuff, that they played the music I wrote, and it was all by a guy called Nilo Ruti, who is a bassist that used to be in a band with our drummer Santari, and Alexei Laiho from Children of Bodom. They were in this three-piece instrumental prog thing called Tolk, Tolk, back in the early 2000s. And I thought Nilor did a really good job. The sound he had, particularly, I think it really fit the songs that he's playing on. You can particularly hear him in Disciple, just with this super bright, rude bass tone, which is front and center in the track.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Good. What's it like being a newer band in 2024? You know, I mean, with streaming, with touring, with trying to figure out how to survive on the road. How are you guys managing all that these days?
It's a really good question. And to be honest with you, the landscape changes so fast. I feel like we've caught up to 2 years ago by the time it's completely changed again. But the big one for us is social media and presentation, which we're trying to take very, very seriously. Because traditionally, it's not so much a trope in prog as it is in other styles of music. But we've just realized how utterly imperative it is to get good at social media and to make good stuff regularly that you put out.
Yeah.
And I've been learning some video editing stuff. Like I've been editing a lot of the stuff we put up most recently. But I think that is a huge part of what we've been doing in 2024, is just accepting the fact that no matter how much all of us might wish it was the 70s or whatever, with these huge budgets and the very different kind of career roles, you kind of have to be very versatile entrepreneur to be good at being in a band in the modern age, just because so much of it's done in the house. And these budgets that used to be seven figures, you know, you might have five figures for. So you've got to be a bit more hands-on and willing to get in there to make that stuff happen.
Yep. Yeah, indeed. You got any funny stories from the road that you've had recently? And, you know, if you've shown up somewhere and your van broke down or other crazy things, what's something interesting that's happened to you guys?
I think for me, it was my first encounter with a raccoon, which happens in
okay,
Texas
that's a good one.
On the last gig of the previous tour. It's bizarre. Like, bear in mind, you know, I'm from the UK and I live in Finland now. We don't have raccoons. They're very exotic to us. And I was sat outside the back of the stage on the last night of a tour with Bowler and just looking up at the sky and not really paying attention, just listening to the music. And I looked down to my left and there was a raccoon about 1 foot away staring at me. And I nearly crapped my pants. So I went, oh, fuck. And the raccoon reacted the same way and ran off back through a hole in the fence. So I walked around to our dressing room and said to the guys, oh, you'll never guess what just happened. And while I was talking to them, this little masked face just popped its face around the door. So it had followed me into the building and was clearly trying to find some food in there. And they're a lot smarter than I think they're giving credit for.
Well, at least it didn't try and attack you or take your guitar strings off or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might have had a long-term plan, but we left before it could enact it, so we got away that time.
Awesome. So what's so you got the tour coming up. That's the main thing coming up next. Are you guys going to plan to just keep touring throughout the rest of the year, or do you immediately go back to writing some new music soon, or are you already writing down ideas for the next album?
The current plan is we are very tied up in setting out the show before we go away. We've had a lot of pre-production rehearsals. We've learned most of the stuff now. We've just got to assemble it into a set. And I think that's going to be pretty much full time until we go out on the road. But when we get back in the summer, immediately we're going to start working on new music. And I have a few ideas already. For some jumping off points for at least two songs. No promise how long it's going to take, because I never know. And sometimes it happens kind of naturally and quickly. And other times it's like a very long trip to the dentist.
Sure.
But there will be new music coming in the future. And then for the rest of the year, the fall, we've got kind of a question mark over at the moment. I'm not sure what we're doing there yet. We've got a few different options, but we can speak about that more later in the year. And towards the end of the year, we're going to do a headline tour in Europe as well, which is the most extensive one we would have done to date. So that's going to be great.
Oh, very cool. So what do you like doing more? Do you like being out on the road or messing around in the studio?
And I enjoy both. And I still think the feeling when you write a really, really good song is pretty much unbeatable. But I think that's a very small percentage of the overall kind of workload, I think. Typically, the studio is very stressful. I think normally there's it's either a deadline or a fire to put out or something goes wrong. And there's like a snowball effect sometimes where one wrong thing becomes 20 wrong things, and then somehow I've got to put it all back together because I keep taking the responsibility for that part in the band.
Yeah.
I think being on the road, by contrast, is wonderfully simple. You've got this really great routine. You get up in the morning, you get in the van, drive to a show, you play the show, you drive off, you go to sleep, you repeat the next day. And it's kind of nice. You don't have that much time to think or do that much outside of it. So I think it's kind of peaceful in a way, even though you think it would be really hectic and frantic. I think it's what you're supposed to be doing at any given point. There's nothing abstract about it. It's very clear cut what we're supposed to be doing. So I think overall, I'd probably enjoy that more.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. I think everything you guys are doing is really kicking butt. The new album is amazing. And
thanks so much.
Yeah, excited to hopefully get a chance to see you guys on the road. Anybody listening, don't forget the Charismatic Leaders album is out on May 3rd, so you can check that out and catch the band on the road. James, we'll talk to you again real soon, man.
Sounds amazing. Thanks for your time, mate. Take care.
All right, buddy. See ya.
Bye.
Thanks to James for the interview. Don't forget the new album, Charismatic Leaders, from Wheel is out on May 3rd. For upcoming news, interviews, reviews, and more, check us out on progreport.com. Follow us on all our socials, wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on YouTube, where we have all our Wheel of Prog episodes. If you've missed those, you can check those out there. We'll see you all again soon. Thanks.